Our text for this morning is the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. I call your attention again to these verses, beginning at verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." This is our text. Dear Christian friends, it may come as no surprise to you if you do not get everything you ask for this Christmas. But what if you get something that you didn't ask for? I don't mean just another coffee mug, but something really big or expensive. I'm reminded of friends of ours who were missionaries in Papua New Guinea. One year they were given a cassowary bird. In that culture, giving someone a cassowary bird is a way to show them great honor. Cassowary birds grow to be several feet tall. And so here's this huge bird that is wreaking havoc in their house. But they can't get rid of it because that would be a disgraceful way to treat such an honor. What if the gift of honor was not a very large bird, but a baby? A baby that you were expected to raise to become a king. You might respond like Mary, wondering, what kind of a greeting and what kind of a gift is this? In fact, we have received such a gift. A gift that doesn't just take over our house for a while, but a gift that takes over our whole lives forever. Because when it comes to gifts, God does His own thing. As we look at our text, we see God chooses us out of His own grace. We see that God sends us His own Son to be our Savior. And we see that God does His own work in and through us. Let's look first at how God chooses us by His own grace. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Someone that you are not sure that you recognize or remember comes up to you and says, "Boy, am I glad to see you." Or you get a letter or an email or a phone call that begins, "Congratulations, you are a winner." What's your first reaction? You might feel just a bit suspicious. Maybe this is how Mary feels when she is greeted by Gabriel. Now, I don't know what she was doing when this happened. Was she inside, outside? I don't know. But the appearance of this messenger may very well have been a surprise. Even if, as our hymn we just sang suggests, even if it's not true that it was bright and glowing, oftentimes angels weren't. But whether or not she realizes it's an angel, the angel does have to say, as angels always have to say, "Don't be afraid." But it's the greeting itself, which we are told, troubles and confuses her. It's not just the standard Jewish greeting, "The Lord be with you," but the statement, "The Lord is with you." And the title, "O Favored One," is reemphasized. You have found favor with God. My father-in-law, when he's about to be given another job, has the comment, "Great favor is being bestowed upon me." She may recall another who was greeted in this way in a similar situation when the people of Israel were being dominated by their enemies. Gideon, a young man in an unsuccessful family who was hot and sweaty and frustrated as he was trying to scratch out a living, when an angel appears to him and says, "Hail, mighty warrior, the Lord is with you." And his response is basically, "Yeah, right." Maybe Mary suspected an equally ridiculous assignment. Gideon was sent to deliver the people of Israel from the Midianites. Well, if so, she was wrong. It was not an equally ridiculous assignment. It was more ridiculous. Or maybe, just as Gideon knew he was no mighty warrior, maybe Mary simply realized she did not qualify as one who found favor with God. Maybe she realized how much she'd already failed in the ordinary, everyday things that God called her to do. But if so, this is exactly who does find favor with God. As she later exclaims to her relative Elizabeth in the Magnificat, "He who exalts himself before God is humbled. But he who humbles himself before God, realizing his unworthiness, he's the one who's exalted." Whenever anyone finds favor in the eyes of God, as we're told Noah did and Abraham did, who are also called to do some pretty big and difficult things, the goodness is not in the person that God is looking at. The goodness and the favor is always in the eyes of God himself, in the way he looks at us. The same is true for every one of us. As we reflect on the things about which we have said to ourselves, "This time I'm going to keep from having that other piece of Christmas candy," or "This time I'm going to keep myself from getting angry or frustrated," "This time I'm going to stay within my budget," we may say to ourselves, "I don't think God is going to be happy with me." But more important is what God himself says to us. Because of his own goodness and his own grace, he says, "I love you. You belong to me. I forgive you. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. You are highly favored." It's always hard to believe these words from God. But this is only the first hard task that God calls us to. But he does. He calls us to believe those words. And it's all because God sends his own Son to be our Savior. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." God says to Mary, "You are not just to bear a child that's going to be 8 or 10 or 12 pounds. You are to give birth to a child who fills the universe." God says, "I don't want you to just raise a child who is reasonably well behaved in public. I'm asking you to raise a child who is perfect in every way." God says, "Not just you're going to raise a child who will be successful in the family business, but he says you're going to raise a child who will inherit the throne and reign as king. In fact, unlike other kings, his reign will never end." God says to Mary, "I don't just want you to love a child that you know good and well is going to get hurt sometimes and possibly might fight and die. That would be hard. But God says, I am calling you to love a child who is going to innocently die for the sins of others." How in the world is Mary supposed to be able to do all these things? She's not. Because this is not the doing of the child's mother. All of this is the doing of the child's father, who is God himself. So that this child is God himself. And that's the point. God is giving us his own son because of all the things that we constantly fail to do. God himself must be our Savior. To save sinners who find it hard to do even little things, like giving God the time of day to pray and read his word, like being kind and gentle with our own family members, like using a fraction of the blessings he has given us to help others, like saying a single pleasant word to somebody that we find unpleasant. Because of all we fail to do, God is going to do it himself. He never asked for volunteers to participate in his plan. Jesus, the Son of God, himself volunteers. He willingly gives up all of his power and his glory to sacrifice himself for our sakes. Of all the big and powerful things that the Creator has done, none is more incredibly amazing than this tiny, tiny thing that God does. That the Maker of the universe makes himself to be a single cell. The God who controls the history of empires makes himself to be a baby who is unable to control his own little fist. The God who is the Lord and the giver of life makes himself weak and able to die. This is what God does for us. And even more amazing, God does his own work in and through us. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. If you have a major household repair project to tackle, or a large meal to prepare, which is harder? To do it right and do it on schedule and do it all by yourself? Or to do it right and on schedule and with the help of a four-year-old who is full of questions. Questions like, "How will this be?" But God seems to like to do things the hard way. Because even though he has to do everything for us, he desires at the same time to do everything in and through us. I think God could have given Jesus a human body without Mary. He did it for Adam. I think that God could feed our children without our hard work. He did it for the Israelites in the wilderness. I think that God could spread the gospel without our being witnesses. He has angelic messengers. But this is not how God in his wisdom chooses to do things. Instead, he does all of this and more through people just like us. Nothing is impossible with God. Can you believe that? If so, can you now believe something that's even harder to believe? And that is that nothing is impossible for God to do with us. You know, I don't remember being a whiny little kid. But I do distinctly remember my mother saying to me more than once, "Kent is your middle name." Have we outgrown thinking and feeling, "I can't"? Like a young unmarried girl who can't imagine what God is telling her will happen. We often feel, "I can't. I can't endure this. I can't stand that. I can't forgive them." It's true. I can't. But God can, and he is working in me. Another thing about how God chooses to do his work is that he chooses to do it through his word. Verse 37 says, literally in Greek, "No word shall be impossible with God." He created the world. He conceived Jesus in the womb of Mary, all with a word. the Word made flesh. And this is how he does his work in us, through his Word. His Word, which is living and active, but his Word, which can be easily ignored or resisted by us so that it becomes totally unfruitful like a seed on a rock. God's Word, however, works in our hearts to cause us to respond, to say, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be to me according to your Word. We may indeed have forgiveness and hope and the ability to do what is right and eternal life in heaven, all given to us by God's Word, which works faith in us. Now, if we don't say this, may it be to me according to your word, God still does what he intends to do. Has been Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, didn't really believe what the angel was saying, but it happened anyway. And yet, if we don't believe what God is saying, we miss out on the benefit of it and the blessing of it, the forgiveness, the hope, the peace, the courage, the strength that come only through believing God's Word. We have a hard time believing God's Word. And so we have a tendency to turn everything that God does for us, prayer, worship, sacraments, changed hearts, into something that we think we have to do for God. But by working in our hearts with His Word, God turns everything we have to do, repentance, obedience, righteousness, love for others, into something that He does for us. God did an amazing, almost unbelievable thing for Mary. And He does amazing things still today because God always does His own thing. God chooses us out of His own grace. God is with us because of the favor that is in the eyes of God and how He looks at us. God sends His own Son to be our Savior, born as a tiny child because of all the things we fail to do to be our Savior, because only God Himself could do that. And God does His own work in and through us. Nothing is impossible with God, not even doing all that He does in and through people like us, using His Word, which is at work in us. May it be according to us, according to God's Word, now and forever. Amen.